All righty. Good. You've already been praying. Come out of the prayer class, you should have some type of prayer. Amen. Yeah, I tell you what, if you can read my exam, you can pass. If you can read, you can pass. That's all. That's what it's all about. All righty. Tonight we're going to actually start getting into the actual textbook that we have in chapter 1. the weeks we've been leading up to this are setting the foundation so you can have an understanding of faith, understanding that faith is no longer a tool for our personal gain. That's not the first objective of our faith. So that we also can understand that our relationship with God should not be about what God can do for us, but what we can do for him. All right? We'll be listening to that on the internet. So tonight we're going to see why. We're going to start delving into chapter 1, and we're going to see why that thought process is necessary. If we don't develop a covenant mindset, a mindset of being in relation, not in relationship with God, but being in fellowship with God for the purposes of establishing his kingdom on earth, then the church will stop, will not function right. And you're going to see, we're going to talk about tonight, things have begun to creep into the church because we've been so self-centric. All right, things have creeped into the church that shouldn't be in the church, and it's there because we left God's ordained order for how things ought to be established. Remember now, Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in the 11th verse, he said, he gave unto us gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, right? And I always said this. He gave us those five gifts to do three things. Anybody know what it is? Maturing the saints, work of the ministry, one more, edifying the body of Christ, all right? It takes all five to do that, right? But we've been trying to do it with three, and sometimes two. So now what has happened is because we haven't had the culture of honor. Now, you really need to pay attention to your class, the culture of honor, because it's going to teach you how in the kingdom, if there's not an attitude or a culture or a mentality of honor, then we're going to be in competition all the time. Right. Which gift is better? Which gift has the most authority? Which gift? Listen, the gift that has the most authority is the gift that's needed at that moment. All right? So an apostle can be, but not is not as effective as an evangelist in the area where the evangelist needs to be. But then an evangelist is not effective in the area of an apostle. So we have to have the culture of honor, allow all five gifts to work together so that the agenda of God can be accomplished and his kingdom can be established. All right? So this is why we're going to see why things have crept into the church. All right? Turn with me to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. God is looking for a people that has a discerning ear to act wisely to his voice and heed his voice. God's wisdom will always override the worldly clever ideas. Mm-hmm. contemporary thought pattern has creeped into the church, which is allowing liberalism and allowing compromise to take place. Now, all this is happening in today's church. And the reason why it's happening in today's church is because once we've been so self-centered. So therefore, by us being self-centered, it's all about us solving our problems. Now, if you keep trying to solve your problems the wrong way, things you think that are not working, were never meant to work, ain't gonna produce no results. So what happens? You keep looking for another idea. You keep looking for another idea. You keep looking for another idea. I come up with a new idea. I come up with another insight. I come up with another concept. And if it never was ordained for me to get my problem solved that way, we see that it don't work. So what we go look for another idea. And so when we start looking for ideas outside of the Word of God, outside of His thought process, that's when the world system begins to creep into the church. All right? So we see that compromise and liberalism has creeped into the church. Insomuch that the church has now become more of a corporation rather than a kingdom. Yeah. What's the difference between a corporation and a kingdom? A kingdom is to establish a culture, is to establish rules, is to establish a means for future generations. A corporation is built to organize for the present moment only. Notice the corporations we have in our country, whatever company you want to name. There's a reason why they change CEOs, why they change different management, because they need ideas for it to keep this corporation alive now. So if we can't keep the corporation, what they're saying is you can't keep the corporation, if you can't make us no more money, we got to get rid of you. As compared to a kingdom is established on a foundation for which generations can grow. Like Abraham was a kingdom establisher. God told him, "In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." He said, "You're going to be a father of many nations." So, but yet we have the church that's trying to compete with the world system. The world system is never worried about the future. It's always worried about the present moment. But a kingdom is always concerned about the future, and because they're concerned about the future, they know what they have to do in the present moment. Are you seeing this? If we do not get this structure straight, if we do not understand that we are, that we have a kingdom agenda and that we're not to follow the world system, the world system is supposed to follow us, then what's going to happen is the world system ideas are going to creep into the church and begin to take hold in the church and begin to run rampant in the church. And when it runs rampant in the church, that's the doorway for sin to get into the church. Ephesians, the second chapter, watch this. Verse 2. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Ephesians. He said, "Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." In the past. Go to Exodus, the 18th chapter. Now, the purpose of the fivefold ministry gift is for the perfecting of the saints. Now, all this is in chronological order. For the perfecting of the saints to do what? The work of the ministry. When the work of the ministry is done, the body is edified or the body is built. God established an agenda, a kingdom plan that will allow for that to happen. But we're going to have to follow his plan. We can't take his word and apply it to our plan. We can't take his authority and apply it to our plan. We can't take his anointing and try to apply. Do you realize that God gives, let me make sure I say this right. God chooses who is anointed.
Yes, sir.
Right? Yes, sir. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
But do you know it's man that endorses the anointing?
Yes, sir.
It's a reason for that.
That's right.
Because in this apostolic kingdom that we're establishing, there has to be accountability. There has to be a place of correction, direction, protection. There has to be a place of accountability that if I step somewhere I shouldn't go, and sometimes I step there and don't know, there's somebody there that can grab me and pull me back. Are you seeing this? We're going to read in a few moments where Moses had to choose some men. See, Moses was running into the problem to where he almost got out of the apostolic mold because he was trying to do everything himself. Because watch now, the fivefold has been given to the God. He said he gave gifts unto men. The fivefold has been given to us so that the body of Christ can mature, so that the body of Christ can do the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can grow or be edified, built up, meaning there's more people in the body of Christ that can receive more people. Are you seeing this? So now Moses was getting to a point where he was doing it by himself and he was killing himself. And his father-in-law gave him some advice. We're about to read this advice. And the advice that Jethro gave Moses is the exact thing that needs to happen in the body of Christ today. So Moses hearkened unto the voice of his father-in-law, verse 24, and did all that he said. And Moses chose what? Abel. Verse 25, and Moses chose Abel men out of all Israel. When I say men, I'm talking about women too. Chose Abel men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard cause they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Now, here's the thing. If I'm not connected to Moses, then I'm not going to judge like Moses. This is the purpose for accountability. This is the reason why God told Abram, I'm going to bless those that bless you. Those that help you accomplish my agenda, I'm going to be responsible for empowering them to prosper. Why? Because there were some things that that Abram knew from the mouth of God that those that was helping him was going to have to learn from Abram. They were going to learn from God.
Right.
So therefore, the same concept, Moses was able to choose Abel.
Yes, sir.
People he can trust.
Yes, sir.
People he knew that wasn't trying to build their own agenda. People he knew that had God's agenda at heart.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
If you ever want to be used by God, if you ever want to be used mightily by God, then you're going to have to be connected to somebody who's been used by God. I said this before. Anybody you hear, the most dangerous person in the body of Christ, the most dangerous person in the body of Christ is somebody who's on an island by themselves. They don't need nobody to tell them nothing. They can hear God for themselves.
Right.
Run from them.
Right. Yes, sir.
Because what they're saying is that the plan of God began with them. And we know for a fact the plan of God didn't begin with them. It began with Abram. So how can somebody just pop up and come with another revelation or another move or another agenda from God just out the blue and we can't track their lineage?
Right. Mm. Wow.
Yes, sir. We need kingdom structures with divine patterns, mm-hmm. not kingdom structures with corporate patterns.
Right.
Divine. We need kingdom structures with divine patterns. Divine patterns, divine, meaning they're God-given. The purpose, the reason why we need divine patterns in our kingdom, in this kingdom agenda that we're building, is so that people can be reproduced and the proper, capable people can be reproduced to carry out what God is asking us to do. Go to Numbers, the 11th chapter. This is why you are here. This is why you're understanding the apostolic. This is why you learn about it. So that you can find out on a deeper level. Do you realize that the higher you go in the spirit, the deeper you're going to have to go in God? You know, one of the most telling things that we have in the South is the difference between a pecan tree and an oak tree. A pecan tree. Oh, man, a pecan tree put out pecans. And for y'all up north, pecans. Pecans put out pecan, pecans, whatever you choose. They put out fruit. They put out pecans. Oh, man, they put them out. And they grow tall, they wide, but let a storm come through. Mm-hmm. And the storm come through, push the pecan tree over. Why is that? It's because the roots of a pecan tree don't go deep. But an oak tree, storm come through. We was living in Gosmo. I grew up in Gosmo before we moved to Gonzales. We were living in Gosmo, and had this oak tree, and I know this oak tree was every bit of 100 years old by the time I was able to remember the oak tree. And the oak tree stretched out, had to be maybe 100 feet, 200 feet wide. And you can also see the roots stretching out just as far. Not just as far, but they were just as deep. So that tree had a foundation that it couldn't be moved. So in building the kingdom, you have to, that's why the Bible talks about being a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Yes, sir.
You decide how deep your roots go.
Right. That's right. Yes, sir.
God don't decide that. You decide how deep your roots go.
Yes, sir.
You decide. God decides how big you grow, but you decide how deep your roots go.
Right.
So it's automatic. If I want to go deeper in God, I'm automatically going to get bigger. See, it's up to me to go deeper. It's up to God to flourish me. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Numbers, the 11th chapter. Verse 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. This is Moses choosing 70 elders. This story is amazing. This story is amazing. Matter of fact, let me read a little further. Let me read a little further back up. Because I want you to see a kingdom being built. I want you to see how the church has taken wrong turns with denominations and other men's ideas. Other men's ideas about who God is instead of God revealing himself.
Right. Yes,
and see, denominations are developed because people want to stay in control.
That's why
denominations develop. It's because we're going to do it this way. We ain't going no other way. Other words, God ain't talking to nobody else. And plus, he ain't talking to us no more.
Right.
That's what a denomination is.
You're right. Absolutely.
He ain't talking to nobody else, and he ain't talking to us the most, so, you know. Let's see. Verse 24. See, the Lord had already told him to choose some people, right? Look at verse 24. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. Verse 24. And gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them around about the tabernacle. Right? And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him. All right, you see what's happening? The Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him. Who is him?
Moses.
All right? And took of the spirit that it was. Now again, took the spirit that was upon who?
Moses.
You see that? And gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Moses, God told Moses, you choose 70 elders. You choose 70 elders. Get them into around the tabernacle. Now, this is amazing now because the presence of God wasn't supposed to leave the holiest of holies. But in this particular instance, God said, get you 70 elders, get them around the tabernacle, and I'm going to come, and I'm God himself came and took the spirit that was on Moses that came from him,
right.
But he took it off of Moses and put it on the 70.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Now, what criteria do you think Moses was looking at when he chose the 70? Think about it. Who was he looking for? Trustworthy. Those who wasn't self-centered. Those who had God's agenda at heart. Those who he knew that when God spoke to him, they trusted him enough to know that he was hearing the voice of God. Not somebody who, I'm going to send you, God, I'm sending you to somewhere to do something God had told me to do, but I can't trust if you're going to do it. We have to be able men and women of God who, because of we have a love for God and the agenda of God, and because of relationship with who we follow, that we're able to help them fulfill what God has called them to do.
Yes,
see, this is Bible. Go to Luke 16. Go to Luke 16. Go to Luke 16. See, the church has got it all wrong. The way most churches are born today is they're born out of anger. They're born out of dissatisfaction. They're born because they can't have control. And so how can God endorse something that was born out of hate when God is love? You hate the way your pastor did things. You hate the way things are running in the church. So now you're going to do something different because you figure you know better. Are you seeing this? Watch this. This is Bible. This is Bible. This is another reason why we have a lot of churches that will not grow. Because they were born outside of apostolic agenda. No accountability. Oh, yeah, they may be an organization. They may have come from a denomination. But that don't matter because the denomination, listen, most denominations are money driven. Can you send us fees to carry our name? So therefore, churches are established. That's why you see a church on every corner.
Yeah.
That ain't doing nothing.
Right.
We in school, right?
Come on,
I can be real, right?
Yes, sir. Please.
That's why we see churches on every corner that ain't doing nothing. You know, this person figured, hey, and then they split again. The four people that left, they split again, so now they're dealing with two.
Right.
They done split again because now they done got disgruntled. And
they
all moving further and further away from the agenda of God. Are you seeing this? Watch this, Luke 16. Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 12. This is Jesus talking. He said, if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? See, don't get this scripture twisted. Don't be faithful so you can get your own.
That's right.
That's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, I know I can give you on because you are faithful.
Come on now.
Amen.
See, a lot of people want to look at Elijah and said, oh, he stayed with Elisha 13 years. No, he was only able to stay with Elijah 13 years because Elijah got caught up. And if you remember correctly, he wasn't worried about getting a double portion. He was upset that his master was leaving him. So if Elijah would have stayed here 30 years, 40 years, Elisha would have been there serving him all that time.
That's exactly right, sir.
So Jesus' statement here is not the fact of I'm being faithful so I can get my own.
Right.
What Jesus is saying is, I know you. I can give you. He said, I know I can trust you with your own because you are faithful, because you've learned some things, because you picked up on the agenda.
Yes,
is that making sense? Go back to Numbers 25th chapter. Numbers 11, I meant to say. Numbers 11. When you find, and this is another thing with the apostolic and why we have to allow God to go back to his divine order, is because when you find a leader that's not intimidated by the move of God. See, one thing about an apostle is he's not intimidated by the move of God. So if he's not intimidated by the move of God, he's not intimidated who God uses. See, you go into some churches, they get intimidated. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they get intimidated is because them themselves have stopped moving.
Right.
The reason why you'll never catch Apostle Thomas intimidated because he don't stop moving.
Right. Yep. Right. Yes, sir.
See, intimidation comes from when you stop growing.
Right.
Look at verse 29. And Moses said unto him, envious thou for my sake, with God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Moses was just saying, I wish God would put his spirit on all y'all, but he can't because he can't trust all y'all.
Right.
I want him to.
Yeah.
We need a structure of the spirit established on and through the transfer of spiritual legacy. I say it again. We need a structure of the spirit established on and through the transfer of spiritual legacy. I tell people all the time, I don't care how anointed you are, tell me your lineage. Because then I'm going to find out how much character you got.
Yes, sir.
See, I don't care about how anointed somebody is. I really don't. That's not concerning me. I want to know your character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did somebody have their hand on you to jack out of you your inefficiencies, your foolishness? Was somebody that ejected out of you? We need an importation of the Holy Spirit to beget sons in a house who can carry on with the legacy of the senior elder or father of the house. In our country, especially in the United States, you're seeing there's an attack on the church. There's an attack on the church. And the reason why there's an attack on the church is because because of the apostolic beginning to reestablish itself. Satan does not want the apostolic to reestablish itself. And I see that. There are some things happening in some other countries that because of, you know, people ain't going to talk about the kingdom. Look, don't expect the news media to talk about kingdom establishment.
Right.
All you're going to hear from the news is bad news. Stuff ain't happening right. This ain't happening right. But there are things that are happening around the country for God that you don't know nothing about. And so what you see, what we're seeing is, you're seeing God is reestablishing the apostolic agenda here in this country. The reemergence of apostles, the reemergence of prophets. Now, prophets, not these Americanized prophets. Not these Americanized prophets that the only thing they want to do is call your address out.
Right.
And tell you, thus said the Lord, do this and this is going to happen. No. I'm talking about prophets that can actually see where God is moving things. Not these prophets that just want to get on TV and show a familiar spirit.
Right.
I mean, the devil knows where you stay. So what's so wonderful about he know my address. She know my address. Oh, well, I know my address. I know where I stay. I know this already. So because a prophet cannot operate without an apostle cannot not operate without a prophet, a pastor cannot operate without a prophet or apostle or an evangelist or a teacher. Apostle can't operate effectively without the other four.
Right.
An evangelist can't operate effectively without the other four. That's why the culture order has to be in place.
Yeah,
and so that's why there has to be a divine order set in place, a structure, spiritual structure set in place, that training can take place so that connection can be fortified.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that we have one agenda. Do you know how powerful one agenda is?
Yes.
Let me show you how powerful one agenda is. Go to Genesis 11 chapter. Genesis 11 chapter. Let me show you how powerful one agenda is. Genesis, the 11th chapter, first verse. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass that they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heavens, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower with the children of men build it. And the Lord said, behold, who said?
The Lord
said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. If men can get together and complete their ideas, what can happen if we're on one agenda with God's idea?
Wow.
Does this make...
Oh, yes. Lord have mercy.
These are the challenges that we have in the church that we have to deal with. We have seen casualties in leadership. Why have there been casualties in leadership? Because of no accountability. The collapse of whole churches built on the flesh and human philosophies. The cross has been replaced by the couch.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
The power of the Holy Spirit has been explained away. The power and nature. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit, that we can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit? You can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit. You can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man get to the Father but by me, right? You think you finished right there, right? But then he said, I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth. Then in the 8th chapter of Romans, he said, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
Then you get to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse. It says, I had not seen, ear, not heard, neither had entered the heart of man the things that God had prepared for them, but it is revealed unto us by his
Spirit. Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. Jesus said, I give you the right to become a son.
Yeah.
The The Holy Spirit gives you give you the insight to be a son.
Yeah.
See, we need the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Without the Holy Spirit, we can't get none of this accomplished.
Yes, Lord.
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, I think it's around the 11th verse, that only the spirit of a man knows what's in the mind of a man. The spirit, just like that, the spirit knows what's in the mind of God.
Yeah.
So how are you going to get what's in the mind of God if we don't recognize the Holy Spirit? The power of the Holy Spirit has been explained away. The power and nature of sin have become magnified by those who believe the activities of our relatives in the past can affect us more than the work of the cross. The truth being revealed to us now will cause the church to increase her internal force to take on greater challenges. The church today is being plagued by the false doctrines and inaccurate perceptions of kingdom values. Case in point, my pet peeve, grace. Oh, my God. They have ruined grace. Western thought process have ruined grace with this hyper-grace message. Just do what you won't do. And grace gonna cover it. That's not how grace works.
No,
matter of fact, for the last 13 minutes, let's talk about grace for a minute. Let's really explain what grace is. Grace is an empowerment.
Yes, sir.
Grace empowers you to do what you can't do on your own.
Yes, sir.
You kept seeing the Apostle Paul say, through the grace, for the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, through the grace. He's talking about grace upon his life. That's an empowerment. Now grace will cover sin that you are not empowered to deal with on your own.
Right.
See, grace will come and empower you to overcome that sin.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
So grace within itself is an empowerment. Mm-hmm. The word grace is used, the same Greek word is used for grace all over the New Testament, charis. It never changes. That means it's the same. It's an empowerment. So grace is not there so you can do what you want to do. Grace is there to help you do what God has asked you to do. Is that making sense? I hope you listen to me. So a lot of people are being, because of false doctrine, because of the misinterpretation of what Paul was saying about grace, false doctrines creep in the church because there is no divine structure in place to challenge incorrect doctrines. So people can make up whatever they want to make up.
And they do.
Make up whatever they want to make up. Don't listen. I explained this earlier. You cannot study the word of God without having some credence as to history. What was Jesus saying? What was going on around Jesus at the moment he was saying this? So you can understand. See, and so you got a lot of people who want to understand the Bible without the influence of somebody who can help them understand it. So therefore, erroneous doctrines are born. Foolishness is born. Let's think about this. If grace covers everything, right? Why did Jesus have a need to die? Why would there need to shed blood? If my behavior ain't supposed to change, he died in vain. What's the use in shedding blood if I can keep doing what I want to do? What's the purpose behind it? So you hear people teach on hyper grace and stuff like that creep into the body of Christ. Creeps into the body of Christ because there has been no apostolic structure in place, no kingdom structure, no spiritual structure that can protect against foolishness. Paul was very protective of the church. Paul would say, look, they're going to come in here. When I turn my back, they're going to come in here with some foolishness. Stick to what I told you to do. Stick to what I've taught you. They're going to come out all kind of, they're going to come in sheep clothing.
Yes, sir. Right.
Like they're for you. Like they mean you good.
Right.
But they come in with erroneous doctrine. The implementation and application of truth is being marred by cultural perception, prejudices, and human philosophies. We desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit to synergize the inner workings of the church, propelling the church with the force to influence the city and impact the nations. I'm closing with this. What you're going to see over the next 10, 15, 20 years, is you're going to see judgment being brought to the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a good thing.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yes, sir. Now, why is judgment being brought to the church? See, the church is always wanting the judgment to be brought to the world. But the judgment can't be brought to the world till judgment is brought in the church. So with the reemergence of apostles all across the world, the church is now going to be judged.
Yes, sir.
Judge just simply means a judge does this. A judge looks at the law, then look at the situation, compare the situation to the law, and corrects whatever. See, here's why that has to happen. Here's why judgment has not hit the world system yet. If God was to judge the world system in the state that the church is in, then the church is going to be fortified in its mentality that it's doing things right. Same, keep on doing the same thing. Which will bring us full circle to where we are now. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? See, so this is why when you have apostolic order, you won't have no jackleg preachers
right. Right.
creeping in the church.
Right.
You won't have that, not in the apostolic.
Because
right. when the apostolic, when God's divine order is in place,
yes, sir.
If people don't want to do what God wants them to do and trying to fake in the church, God deals with them.
Yeah. That's right.
See, if people don't understand, they think, you know, they say we're in a disposition of grace. The reason why we're in dispensation of grace is because we're so far off path.
That's right.
we're so off path. So God is saying, listen, this is what's supposed to happen to you, but I'm not going to let it happen to you because I'm still working with you. Can I give you an example of the apostolic? Go to Acts, the 5th chapter. Go to Acts, the 4th chapter, and we're going to jump into the 5th chapter, verse 33. 4th chapter, verse 33, and we're going to close here. I'm going to give you what happens when the apostolic is in place. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You see that? And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. So let's get something straight. These were people that owned multiple tracts of land and multiple homes. They sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, why was this necessary? You got to realize, this is the book of Acts. We're just coming from Jesus being getting out the grave, Jesus giving them instructions. What's happening now is you see a whole paradigm shift is taking place. So now you see a whole segment of the of a population or a segment of the world is now moving toward Christianity. away from Judaism. Right? So what happens is you inner workers, you have business going on. So what happens when people don't do what people want you to do? What they do? They put pressure on you money wise. So here these are Christians who are professing the name of Christ, but they can't get no business in their society because people are turning their backs on them. So the apostle and the people who were in the body of Christ at the time that had money, what they were saying is nobody's going to suffer. We're going to bring our extra house that we have in our land. We're going to sell them. We're going to bring the money to the apostles' feet, and we're going to help our fellow brothers and sisters that have taken a stand with us but just not able to fend for themselves at the moment. Other words, really what they were doing, they were giving them seed. All right, watch this now. Tell me what happened with the apostolic. Verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, right? So we go into chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, here's the apostolic kicking in. Right. See, when the apostolic is in proper place, you can't play games in the apostolic. Right. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? Was it in you? Watch this. After it was sold, was it not in thine power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came over all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded to the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And the great fear came upon all the church, upon as many as heard these things. And to go right to verse 12 and saying, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Right. You would think people be in fear and don't want to deal with the apostles. That ain't what happened. What happened was people seen that the integrity and that God's spirit was present and that things are going to be right. Why did Ananias and Sapphira die? What happened? Yeah, we know they lied to the Holy Spirit, but why would God allow that to happen to them? Why would they drop dead? Because it's a good question, right? What happened in the situation? Let's find out what happened. Watch this. Go back to the fourth chapter. Verse 33, and great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. What it says? Great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses did what? Sold them and brought the prices of them that were sold. Notice it said great grace. What is grace? An empowerment. Empowerment to do something that you couldn't do on your own. What happened? Watch this. We see this very plainly. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? The money, whatever they sold for more than they thought it was going to sell for. Why? Because great grace. God got involved in the transaction. Are you seeing this? So that God got involved in the transaction, see, being self-centered. God got involved in a transaction. When they got the money, they became self-centered. Right. So they say, we're going to bring to God what we think it should have sold for, right, and we're going to keep the rest. Right. And God say, no. I'm not going to allow you to use my power to get something done. And then after I let you use my power to get something done, you won't renege. That's what happens when the apostolic is in place. Nobody can't play games with the apostolic. Exactly right. See, judgment has to be brought first in the church. Yes, sir. these erroneous teachings. And watch this. Erroneous teachings cannot be judged by just an average Christian. It had to be somebody that has an ear of God and has the backing of God. And that comes from, watch this, that comes from the office of an apostle. Watch this. An apostle structures doctrine.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Remember now, you know how to get born again, not because of what Jesus said, because of what Paul said. That's how you know. Jesus did the work. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus did all the heavy lifting.
Right.
Paul said, nah, he did all the heavy lifting. And let me tell you how you take part in that. Only God could reveal that to the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
So the Apostle Peter, he is walking in the same office. So now the Apostle Peter is getting ready to establish the church, help establish the church. And here it is. You got Ananias and Sapphira trying to play them same old games.
Right.
God ain't having it.
See,
the first thing I tell pastors, whenever they get ready, I'm closing, everyone they get ready to join LTMA, the first thing I tell pastors, I tell every pastor this, I said, get ready for your church to shrink. I'm warning them. Because if you're going to establish the apostolic in your church and establish God's agenda, that means it's going to reveal every other agenda in the house. And if every other agenda in the house is not aligned with the agenda of the house, they're going to get upset. And they're going to leave. And I promise you, if a church is established on its old paradigm, I promise you there's some people in your church right now that have other agendas than the agenda of the house. So now how is God going to transfer anointings from the house, from the senior lead in the house to those that are connected? When he can't. They have the same agenda.
Right.
If Elisha wouldn't have had the same agenda as Elijah,
right,
there wouldn't have been no transference of the double portion.
Exactly right.
Wow. Why? Because all Elisha was going to do it, use it for what he wanted to use it for, which is not what God wanted it for, so why let him have it? Now you understand Luke 16. If you're not faithful in that which is another man, I know you ain't going to be faithful with your own. I see y'all next week.